All right, amen. All right, boy, tremendous music tonight. I love that song, Bow the Knee. That's one of my favorite songs. So I enjoyed that. And of course, I enjoyed the young ladies here singing. And then I enjoyed the video. I mean, boy, that gives you a great picture about what missions is doing around the world. And it's good to see that a second or third generation missionary follows in the footsteps of his father. That's always tremendous to see that. To see that the whole picture of missions, people being saved and baptized and churches being started, if countries are going to be reached, it's going to be reached by the nationals, by their own people. Missionaries have to train many, many people in their countries where they go that they can pastor and they can become missionaries. And with a great, great video, did you see the people? Did you see the children? Their only hope is churches like this that will support the Autrys and get them to the mission field so the gospel can come to them. I hope this week that you've seen that missions is very important. It's very important. It's the most important thing on God's mind, and that's the missions. And so open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to thank you for everything that you've done for us while we've been here. I've enjoyed being here. Boy, it's kind of hard for me to bounce in and bounce out, and I think Pastor and I agreed today that I would come back maybe next year, so I hope to be in some different countries by then, amen, and to have some other churches started and many things done by then, and pray that you can send your pastor on a mission trip, and some of you men, and some of you young men could go with him, and we'd like to put together something, maybe Brother David Owens next year. You support him, that would be a great mission trip for you. They speak a British English. You could win people to Christ down there. We'll see them baptized. You can see a work. You can go back out into the jungles if you want, or the bush you want. You can get on boat. You have a boat ride. Man, I was on a boat ride down there one time. Of course, you have to go out of the river, out to the ocean, and come back in, and man, that boat goes up and it slaps down like you're hitting concrete, man. And of course, I had kidney stones about 3 years ago, so that really shook those babies up, amen. One thing I like about missions is never boring. Being a missionary and being involved in missions and going to countries, it's never boring because you never know what's going to happen to you. You don't know what you're going to eat. You don't know where you're going to sleep. I think I come from back from one trip where I spent 10 nights in a tent and slept out the tent. And the only thing about the tent is that everybody else wants to surround it. There was a dead rat out there in the morning. I don't know if I got up during the night and stepped on him or what. But there's just so many things and just so many exciting things. And then to see people saved, amen. And then to see them gathered together and come together for services and whatever. It's an exciting time. Let's all stand as we read a portion of the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But thank you for everything that you've done. It was a great weekend. I tried to be a blessing, but I couldn't pull off something this afternoon. I couldn't help the New England Patriots beat the Jets. Amen. And so we need to mourn for Pastor for a couple seconds. And so, and even got beat by a rookie quarterback. Well, anyway, let's get back to the Bible. Amen. It's been a great time. So let's get back to the Bible. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do not do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the Macedonian churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and in their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for a tremendous weekend. Thank you for a faithful people that came out Friday night, soul winning Saturday morning, came out to the international dinner and the preaching last night, and Father, the services today. Father, thank you for a group of people that you've put together here underneath the pastor. I pray that you'd bless the pastor and his family. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we close out this service. Father, what we do tonight is just not for this weekend, but Father, make it for another whole year. And Father, may many people be saved and many lives be changed. Now, Father, bless tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, boy, I had to leave America to realize how prejudiced we are, how prideful we are, how self-sufficient we are. And boy, as if God looks down upon America, as if we are some superpower, supernatural people. The only reason that we are what we are is because we were fortunate enough to be born in America. Amen? under a country that was founded by God and underneath the Word of God. And I ask you tonight to open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Most people around the world, over 3 billion Bibleless people, couldn't do that. One simple thing that we take for granted every service. Open your Bible, all right? But there are 3 billion Bibleless people around the world that could not do that very simple thing. And today we see this. There's about 6.7 billion people on the earth, and God loves every one of them as much as He loves you and I. I was looking at that video and just looking into the face of the people and all different types of people and different ages of people. And as I was looking into their eyes and I was looking into them, God loves them. Amen. God loves every one of them. God loves them just as much as He loves you and I. And of course, we're here with the Faith Promise Mission Program, and Faith Promise is a big part of the mission program. Here's what Faith Promise does. Faith Promise enables you to get personally involved with what's in God's heart. Faith Promise allows you to get personally involved in what's in God's heart. I've read the Bible, and I studied the Bible, and I spend the time in the Bible, and I read my Bible every day. I've made God a promise. I will not go to bed at night until I've read my Bible. Now, sometimes I get up busy because of circumstances or situations, and before I go to bed, though, I will read my Bible. And as I read the Bible, I see the heart of God. It's amazing as I travel, and of course, I get to travel and see many people in many different situations. I see the heart of God. You know what the heart of God is? You and I and all the people of the world, we're on God's heart. And God thinks about us, and God loves us, and everything that He has done for you and I. And I said this in one of the other services, and I had a difficult time saying goodbye to Sam, my son, this time in the Philippines. And he came up and he hugged me at the airport, and boy, he just the way he gripped me, and I knew it was going to be hard for him, and that because it was hard for him, it was harder for me. And he wiped away his tears, and he walked away, and I thought, boy, God, I'm leaving my son behind, and I don't know if I'll see him again. He lives in a kind of a dangerous situation there, and I'm getting older, and I'm traveling, and I go to different countries, and I don't know if I'll ever see him again. And it was a very difficult time, but then I thought about God, how He left His son. Boy, you think about this for a minute, how He left His son. And boy, you think about it, and some parents say, I can't give up my children. I can't let my children go to the mission field. I can't let go of my grandchildren. Do you understand that God let His son be born in a foreign world or a foreign country? Do you understand God allowed His son to be raised by foster parents or by parents from that world? Do you understand that that world did not want His son? That world rejected His son? And He said His son is born there, raised with different parents. That world rejected Him, yet they called Him a devil, they lied about it, they slandered Him, they ended up beating Him and spitting upon Him and put Him on the cross, and He died in that country. Do you understand? Why did He do that? He died for you and I. God gave up His only begotten Son for you and I and for every person in the world. As I said goodbye to my son, all that came to me, how God could do that. How God, when Jesus Christ took on the sins of all the world, took on all of our sins, God had to turn His back on His own Son. Boy, He did that. Why? For you and I. Do you understand tonight what's all involved in what God did for us? Do you understand what's all in God's heart tonight? It's you and I. It's people of the world that He loves. He wants to bring them back. God wants to bring all His dominion back underneath Him. So we look at this, and first, Faith Promise gives us a personal way of getting involved in what we do and see in God's heart. Faith Promise is an opportunity for you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? It's an opportunity. Most of you will not go, but Faith Promise gives you an opportunity to go into the world. Read your prayer letters. Get to know your missionaries. Boy, so many times most church members cannot name their missionaries. And if they can, they don't know what country they're in. My wife called me this afternoon, and she said my daughter called her and said that she ran into one of the churches that used to support us years ago. Now, I've been back from the Philippines for 9 years, and that church said, yeah, we support you, so supported your dad. Is he still on the field? And I've been back 9 years, you know? It's amazing how we don't keep track of our missionaries and find out what's going on with our missionaries. Faith Promises giving is the quickest way to help support missionaries, to help missionaries get their support. Faith Promises. Faith Promises is the quickest way for you to get God's blessing upon your life. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. When you get involved in what God's involved in, And when you give to what God wants done and the dearest thing to his heart, I want to do three things with my life as I continue on. I want to magnify Jehovah God, amen? I want to lift him up. I want to magnify him. I use the word Jehovah God because there's so many gods coming into this country and we're being flooded with gods and we're being flooded with false religions. And somebody, when you say God anymore, you don't know who they're talking about. Is it Allah? Muhammad, Dalai Lama, who is it? Buddha? And so whatever, I want to magnify Jehovah God. Then I want to exalt Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus Christ has got a name above every name. He needs to be exalted up. You know what religions are doing? They're trying to pull him down to be one of them. Jesus Christ will never be one of anything on this earth. He is a true living God. Amen? We see that. And the last thing, I want to do this with all the power of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I go to Luke chapter 11, verse 13, before I do anything. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Boy, I said, oh, dear God, I want to empty myself of self and sin and Satan. I want to completely empty myself. And dear God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit power? I've got to do things that I cannot do. My flesh is weak. I get tired. I'll fly back tomorrow morning, switch suitcases, and take off. My daughter has to have surgery on Tuesday, and I want to be there. She's got a lump on her back and they're going to do surgery and I want to be there for her, so I have to switch suitcases tomorrow, get down there, be down there, get back so I can fly to Alaska, come home 5 days and take off to Africa. But I can't do these things in my own strength. I witness to people and I preach the word of God, and I don't preach for fun and I don't preach for practice, amen? I preach that something will happen, and the only way it happens, when you teach a Sunday school class, when you're working with the youth, when you give out the gospel, it's not you, it's not your talent, it's not your ability, it's the Holy Spirit of God working through you, amen? And that's why God can use any believer that is yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, amen? It's not because of your talent. God does not look down. God is no respecter of persons, amen? God can take anybody who is yielded and willing and fill them with the Holy Spirit of God and use that person. I want us to look at this portion of Scripture as we look at this. My topic tonight would be this, a formula for faith promise. A formula for faith promise. Now, as we look at this in verse 1, we see this. Paul is writing because the church of Corinth had made a commitment. And after a year had passed, they had not followed through with that commitment. Now, when you make a commitment with your faith promise, please, please follow through with that commitment. Amen? When this church commits itself to support a missionary, that missionary is dependent upon that support. If you don't send your support, it may say, well, if I don't send my support, they'll be able to get by. Yeah, that's easy for you, but for the missionary in a foreign country, it's not easy for him. I was a missionary for 15 years in the Philippines. My support was never the same. It's like a roller coaster. Whoop, 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 whoop. Man, you know, you hope that you get it all, but some churches don't send it sometimes, and difficult come, and some churches lose their pastor, or there's a church split. And boy, a missionary really does. He lives by faith because he does not know exactly how much he's going to get. So Paul's writing now to the church of Corinth. They made a commitment. They made a promise that they were going to give, but they did not follow through on that. So Paul's coming back to exhort them to finish what they started. Amen? In your faith promise mission program, you finish what you start. Never drop a missionary. If a missionary is not doing what you think he should do, never drop him when he's on the field. If you have to do it when he comes home on furlough or something. Amen? Now, most of your missionaries, you won't have to do that with. But we see this here now. He's writing to the churches of Corinth, and he said, look, you've made a commitment. You said you were going to follow through with this, but you haven't followed through. And so he's going to write and use the churches of Macedonia as an example to encourage them. So look at this. Verse 1, we come this. Paul lifts up the churches of Macedonia as a great example to encourage the church of Corinth because they weren't following through. These churches of Macedonia first. All right, the churches of Macedonia, believers had first things first in their faith promise. First things first in their faith promise. As we look at this here, the first thing that they had first was their priorities. Look at verse 2. Their first things first in faith promise. The first thing would be this. They had their priorities right. Look at verse 2 and great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto their riches of their liberality. They gave while under great a trial of affliction. They gave even out of deep poverty. We see this here. They gave up deep poverty. They had their priorities right. They said, look, we're going to do this. We're going to give, even though circumstances do not look like we can give. Look, we cannot let circumstances stop us. We can't. We've got to march on. We can't let things come into our path. You've got to be able to overcome your circumstances. And how do you overcome your circumstances? By believing and trusting in God's promises. Amen? Amen. By believing and trusting in God's promises. Man, I'm telling you what, every time I decide to do something for God, you think the devil's going to be happy about that? Boy, I was on deputation one time, and you know how I was young back then, and you know, boy, when you're young, you think you're invincible, and boy, when you get preaching, the adrenaline starts flowing, and you start preaching, when you'll say things while you're preaching, and you have no idea what it's going to cost you when you're saying it. Boy, I got up one time on deputation, and I was coming through Ohio, and it was snowing out, and I was preaching that way. I was out probably about 2 weeks, and my children were back in the town, and they were in a Christian school. My wife couldn't travel with me. Boy, I've been out for a couple weeks. I thought, boy, after service, I'm going home. And boy, I'm glad to get home. And I was preaching away, and I got up and said, bless God, I'm going to the Philippines. I'm going to grab one of those islands. I'm going to start a church right in the middle of it, and I'm going to take it away from Satan. Boy, that's good preaching, amen? Boy, that's great preaching. Boy, you preach away. Boy, on the way home, I'm traveling down the road, and it's snowing pretty good, and it's getting kind of icy and whatever, and I got one focus. I'm going home to Mama, amen? And I'm on my way home. I want to get home or whatever, and boy, I got this old van. I'm traveling down the road, and it begins to snow a little bit more, and it's starting to come across, and this old van, you know how the rubber in the window, it was out, and so the snow was on the driver's side, the wind was blowing it in or whatever, so I pulled over, and I said, I'll fix you. I got my sleeping bag out, amen, and I packed it all around that door and that window and slammed that thing shut. I said, man, I got that taken care of, and so I put that thing up there, not knowing I was going to need it later on, amen, and so I'm going down the road, and I come across the bridge. And man, I hit that bridge, that van became a top. That thing started to spin, and boom, that's the last thing I heard. The next thing I heard, is he alive? And I thought, I must be, because you're no angel, amen? And so I said, man, yeah, I mean, man, and what happened, a lot of the impact comes through the driver's side of the thing, and that sleeping bag protected me from the glass and everything else. The van was total, completely out. And the first thought that came to my mind was, Satan says, you're not taking anything away from me. You're not going to go to the Philippines. You're not going to go to the island. And you're not going to start a church. And you're not going to take it away from me. We got to be very careful, because look, when we decide to do something for God, the devil's going to jump on your back. And if you're not strong enough, you will not defeat him. Boy, if you're not strong enough, you won't succeed in what you're going to do for God. As a bus worker, a Sunday school teacher, a youth worker, whatever God's called you to do, if you're not careful, you will not succeed if you're not careful. And so we see this. Circumstances will come up. Boy, you know, circumstances come this way, and circumstances come this way. My wife had to have surgery at the beginning of the year. We have no insurance. See, I already said, man, I'm going to start 10 churches this year. Right after that, she has to go to the hospital. She has surgery. Boy, it looks like now I'm going to start those 10 churches. I have no insurance. How am I going to get that done? But then God intervenes. Amen? God will intervene, amen? So we look at this. They had their priorities. The first things first, and the first thing was their priorities. Your priorities is to do the will of God for your life, amen? That's your first priority. Everything else is second according to that. Then we see this. First things first is shown by their procedures. We look at their procedures here. Let's look at verse 3. All right, to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. All right, we see their procedures. What is their procedure? First, they gave to their power. I mentioned this morning a little bit. They gave to their power. That means you can give out of what you have. You may be able to reach into your wallet. You may be able to go to your purse. You may go to a bank account. There may be something that you can do to be able to get the money to give whatever you want to give. So that's according to your power. The procedure was right. First, they gave out of what they have. I was going to the Philippines and getting ready to go there. I sold my Ryan lawnmower. I could do that. I said, man, I can buy a cheaper one. I can get one of those self-propelled ones. I can go up and down the yard. Besides that, I need the exercise. Amen? And so I thought, I'll go ahead and sell that thing. I sold it. See, that was something that I could do. to raise money to go there. That was something like it. But it says their first priority was this. Their first priority was what? To come along and to give, even though they did it during, give during their trials and their affliction. Their procedure was, the first one was to give to their power. Look at this. I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. They gave beyond their power. That means you've given what you can give. Now, if you're going to give beyond your power, that means something that you don't have power to give. And that means that's when God gets involved. Amen. Now, I like trying to do all I can personally in my own strength with my little knowledge that I have, with my little ability that I have. I like to try to do that as much as possible. But I know something else. What I'm involved in, what this church is involved in, your church is involved in getting the gospel throughout these doors, throughout this community, throughout America, around the world. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to do that in your own power. You're going to have to come to the place where you get divine power. You've got to get God involved in what you're doing, amen? If you want this church to grow, and God does, amen? I'm telling you tonight, God wants this church to grow more than you'll ever want it to grow. God wants people saved more than you and I will ever want, ever want them saved. But listen, we're not going to be able to do it. Yes, give what you can according to your power, but then you're going to have to seek a power above our power. You're going to have to get that divine power. Look at, they gave to their own power. They gave beyond their power. That means they went to God and said, God, I've got to have your power. I've got to have your strength. I've got to have what you can provide. And that's what faith promises. Faith promises not basically giving what you can give. Of course, if that's the way you want to give, then give. You know, like I said this morning, there's ways to give. All right, as God has prospered you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Since you got saved and God has blessed you, don't ever think that you're being blessed because of your own ability. Amen? Oh, man, I got education. I got knowledge. I got talent. Let me ask you something. Where did you get it? God gave it to you, amen? And so you can give. God has prospered. Oh, and some of you, you'll give sacrificial. Some of you will give up your Big Macs, or and some of you give up your Whoppers, Brother Autry, and some of you give up some of these other things, all right? Some people will sacrifice. They will give up something, and you can give that way. Then you can give according to the grace of God. As God's favor has come upon you, and God has blessed you and favored you, you can give out of that. But faith promise comes to faith. What is faith? Forsaking all, I trust him. F-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's what faith is. Most Christians really don't realize what faith promise giving is. They think that they can go home and figure out their budget and dive shop when they figure out that they can't and that whatever, and they'll try to do everything they can, and they'll come back and say, Pastor, I can't give the faith promise. I figured it out. There's no way I can. Well, welcome to the group. If you really figure it out, most of us cannot do it that way. God has to intervene. Amen? God has to give us an offering. And so what happens? We see that. They gave to their own power. They gave beyond their power. And this is what happens. All right? First things first is shown by their pattern. All right? Their pattern was this. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. Look at this here in verse 3. All right? And beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. When you give to your power, then you give beyond your power, all right? Then you come to the place where the pattern of it is, you first must give yourself. Let me tell you something. When God gets your soul, when God gets your spirit, and God gets your heart, when God gets you, then he can do whatever he needs to do. Amen? You know what these people said? I said, boy, we want to give. These churches of Macedonia, they were started by missionary Paul. They were missionary churches. They were not the big churches. They were missionary churches. And they said, man, we've seen what happened. We want to give. We want to do all we can. And they tried to give out of their deep poverty. They tried to give out of their great affliction. But they said, we've given, but we want to do more. Did you see the presentation tonight? Do you see what's being done? They started their 16th church. And you see what they're doing. But there's more to do. Amen? There's got to be more. And so we come to the place, the pattern is we must give ourselves. Once you give yourself to God, then God can use you any way that he wants. Most of us are trying to tell God how to live our lives. All right? We need to let God live our life and do what God does. Now we see this, the priorities. All right? We see the procedures. We see the pattern. Now we come this. Paul is looking at this church in this portion of Scripture. Paul is saying to the Corinth church, look at the example of the churches of Macedonia. See, Corinth was a well-to-do church. Corinth was a wealthy church. Corinth was a church that had many spiritual gifts. But what happened? They got their eyes off of what they were supposed to do and focused in on themselves, a lot like America. Amen? We are forsaking God. Our country, it's not about God anymore. It's about me, myself, and I, amen? You see this, boy, I was traveling last weekend, preaching last weekend, and I stayed in the motel. It's amazing to me, on Sunday morning, I can get up and go down, I'll go down for breakfast maybe a little bit. It was amazing to me, the eating area was full. People just dressed any old which way. They have no idea they're going to church. They could care less about church. They could care less about God. And, you know, they stare at you when you go by. Because I walk out of the hotel. You know, I carry a big Bible. Amen. People say, why do you carry a big Bible? Got a big God. Amen. And I'll carry that baby out there. And they'll all stare at me like I'm a weirdo. Amen. Smile. And just, well, I'd say, well, why aren't you in church on Sunday? Amen. They can travel. They can afford a hotel. They can afford to eat out. But they can't afford to tithe. They can't afford to go to church. And so we see this here. Paul says, look it. Well, Paul said, look, I'm focusing on churches of Macedonia. Corinth, look at these churches. Through great trial and great affliction and in deep poverty, these churches kept their promise. These churches gave. Now Paul's going to switch it around. Now Paul's going to focus in on the church of Corinth. Now look at this. We see this here. Now Paul takes the spotlight off the churches of Macedonia and he puts them on the church of Corinth. Paul wants to exhort them. Look at verse 6. And 7 here, he said, look, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he hath begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now look, I want you to see the formula for faith promise. What is the formula for faith promise? God's grace and your faith equals your faith promise. You see this? God's grace, your faith equals faith promise. We'll look at this here. Now look at Paul said this. Look at verse 1 again in chapter 8. It says this, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Why was the churches of Macedonia able to give in deep affliction? Why was the churches able to give in deep poverty? Because the grace of God was bestowed upon them. Amen? The grace of God is God's favor. The grace of God is what grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Everything that we have today is not because of who we are. It's because of the grace of God. Amen. I'm born in America because of the grace of God. I'm able to have, boy, God has blessed me. I've been married for 41 years to the same woman. Amen. And by the grace of God, I'll be married another 41 years, the Lord willing, which I doubt, but the Lord willing, I'd be willing to do it. Amen. I can't wait. I called her before the service. Said, honey, I'm on my way home tomorrow morning. Amen. Get the bag switched. Take it all. And so we look at this, but everything that I have, by the grace of God, my children all married saved people. By the grace of God, they should have all been in church today. By the grace of God, all of my children and their husbands or wives and all my grandchildren were in church today by the grace of God. They should have all been there. Man, you can't ask for something better than that, amen? When your church, when your children and the people they marry and your grandchildren, they're in church. I have one grandson that's not saved yet. He's about 5 years old. His name's Connor. I pray for him every day. God, prepare his heart. Holy Spirit, begin to work in his heart. Prick his heart when he's old enough to understand so he will be saved. Amen. Are you praying for your children? You pray for your wife? You pray for your grandchildren? I mean, boy, if there's some family member, some immediate family member that's lost and you're not praying for him, man, it is a tragedy because God answers prayer. Amen. Amen. So we see this here. Buddy comes along. The grace of God was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Well, Paul, Paul said, you know why those churches could give? Because of the grace of God. Boy, wouldn't it be great when the grace of God, and the grace of God is upon your church. Amen? That's great. Amen? Amen. And we look at this and we see this. Now he says, Paul says to the church of Corinth, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to see, Paul commends this church of Corinth, but look at this. He said, look, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he hath begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Corinth, the church of Corinth, let me tell you something. Titus is coming. He's going to teach you about the grace of God upon the churches of Macedonia. That grace will enable you to give in a poverty. It will enable to give you in deep affliction. The grace of God will help you to give in difficult times with certain circumstances. The grace of God will do that. Now, Titus is going to teach them. Look at this. As you read the Bible, if you read the Bible slowly, and if you really want to learn your chapters, read a chapter at a time, and then go back through and circle the word that's repeated often. Look at this. The grace in verse 1. Grace in chapter 7. I mean, verse 6. Grace in verse 7. Grace in verse 9. And you'd be able to see this. Look at this. Chapter is about the grace of God. And he said, look at Paul. He said, Paul said, look at the church, Corinth. I want you to understand. Look, I want you to understand that Titus is coming to you, and he's going to teach you about this same grace. What grace? The grace that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. He comes along, and Paul condemns it. He says, look at verse 7. He commends them about several things. He said, therefore, as ye have abounded in everything, all right? He said, look, you're doing a great job. You're abounding in your faith and in utterance and knowledge and all diligent, and your love to us. He said, man, you're doing great with these things, but look at it. See that you abound in this grace also. What grace? The kind of grace that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia that allowed them to give during poverty and affliction and deep circumstances. And we look at this. He said this. I want you to add to this. He said, now Paul exhorts him to abound in this grace also. I want you to add this grace to those things, other things that you have. Now, when we look at this, what kind of grace is Paul talking about? Paul's talking about the grace in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He's talking about this grace. Paul says, God gave the churches of Macedonia some special grace that they could give even in great affliction, and they could give in poverty. Now, the churches of Macedonia could give according to their abilities, but they went beyond their abilities because what? Plus, God gave them grace to give themselves. Boy, God, I'll give you what I have. God, I need to go beyond my abilities. That means, God, you're going to have to intervene. And if that happens, I'm going to give myself. Amen? Amen. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you given yourself? Some people will give their time. Some people will give their talent. Some people will give their treasures. But you know, some people say, it's easier for me to give my time than to give myself. It's easier to give my treasure. Some of you, it's easier to give your money than to be involved and to give yourself completely to the work of Faith Baptist Church. We see this here. Paul said, look, we need to go beyond that. We need to give ourselves. And so he comes along. He says, what grace is he talking about? God gave them grace to do this. Verse 6, the same grace also. The grace that God gave the churches of Macedonia, Titus would come and instruct them about this grace. God gave the churches of Macedonia amazing grace. Boy, we sing that song, Amazing Grace. I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing. Amen? It's amazing the things that God puts into our lives and the things that God allows us to do, and everything that we're accomplishing is because of grace. Amazing grace, wonderful grace that enabled them to keep their priorities and their procedures, and they could give themselves. But the church of Corinth had gotten things out of line. They got caught up in issues and got sidetracked. Be careful that you don't get sidetracked in what you're doing. The job of this church, Faith Baptist Church, is to reach this area and go completely around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't get sidetracked with the issues that are flying around America. Don't get your eyes off of what God's called you to do. Amen? You stay focused on what you're doing. You follow your pastor. Your pastor, you got a great pastor. He's excited about what he's doing. When he picked up the airport, he's been talking about what you've been doing this year. And you say, well, this has been a busy year. Thank God it's a busy year. Amen? I'm the type of person, man, if I'm not busy, I'll go nuts. Sometimes I'll get to go home for 4 or 5 days. After I'm home about 2 days, man, I start getting stir crazy, man. Man, my wife would say, pack your suitcase and get out of here, amen? I mean, I'm the type of person, I can rest maybe about 2 days, maybe 3 at the most, but then I'm antsy again, amen? Let's get going, let's do something. If we can't, look, if there's something, not something to do, I'll call something to do, amen? I'll do something. But we look at this, man, don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked in what your church is doing. Many people get sidetracked with other issues and other programs. I'm going to tell you something. We got the instruction book right here, amen? Just follow this. And so we look at this. All right, how did they get this grace? Real quick, how did they get this grace? First of all, this grace, how did they get it? First of all, it involves a personal decision, a personal decision. Look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. It's a personal decision. God, look, Paul didn't say, I speak not by commandment. He wasn't forcing them to get involved. He wasn't forcing them to give. In your faith promise, and I don't know if you've all given your faith promise or whatever, this church and Pastor Weeks is not forcing you to get involved in faith promise. I'm not going to force you. right? I'm not going to force you to get involved. It has to be a personal decision. Look, you can do many things, but if it's not a personal decision for you, I don't do what I do because of others. I don't do it because of other missionaries. I don't do it because my family does it. Whether my family does it or not, not going to stop me one way or the other, because I'm going to continue to do it, amen? It's a personal decision with me. If my wife follows, praise God, and if she doesn't, it's going to be a little difficult for her because I'm marching on, amen? But thank God for a wife that does everything. My wife is a perfect example of a helpmeet. All right, my wife might not be talented. She's got a physical problem because she had typhoid in the Philippines and she had a surgery in the Philippines and she almost died in the Philippines and she's got some physical problems or whatever. And she may not be what everybody thinks she ought to be, but I'm going to tell you something. She's a perfect example of a helpmeet. A woman was created to be a helpmeet to her husband. Now, we don't like that today. A lot of women don't like that because they think they're second class. There are no second class with God, amen? Man, when a woman is a helpmeet to her husband, man, that makes that marriage a whole lot easier. That makes their marriage and their home a whole lot easier. Look at the people that follow. Look at women, you're made to help your husband to do whatever God's called him to do, amen?
Amen.
And that's a great, important job. You wonder why America's fallen? I'll tell you why America's fallen. Women have got out of what God has commanded them to do, to be a helpmeet. They want to start being above the man, and they want to have their own way, and they want to do their own thing. Guess what? Is it working in America? No. You don't wonder why we lose our children? Because there's nobody at home. Daddy works, mama's gone, kids do whatever they want. I'm going to tell you something. Thank God that my wife was home. She did not have to work. She was home with our kids. Amen? And I'm not trying to hurt anybody with this, but man, bless God, when a woman is a helpmeet, man, everything is better. The marriages last. The children grow up right. Amen and amen. It's perfect harmony when you see that. But we see this here. He commanded them. Look, he said, it's a personal decision. This is a personal decision you have to make on your own. Nobody can make it for you. When it comes to faith promise giving, it's between you and God. I tell my wife, honey, you give whatever God tells you to give. Oh, my children, you give whatever God tells you to give. See, with faith promise, everybody's supposed to be involved. The husband, the wife, the children. I was very blessed when I was in the Philippines. My son puts up their missionaries, and they put up a list of people that support those missionaries. My two grandchildren are supporting a missionary in Cambodia. They have to do work and chores around the house. And of course, their dad and mama may give them a little bit of money, like Grace, you know, they might give them a little favor or whatever. They are supporting a missionary in Cambodia. They're 7 and 10 years old, and they've already known they have to tithe. They've been taught. You have to tithe. You say, do you have to? Yes, you have to. Amen. That's not my rule. That's God's rule. Amen. Well, you know, you should. You can't say you have to tithe. I didn't say you had to tithe. I said God said you have to tithe, amen? You cannot. Look, if you're not tithing, you're not right with God. There's no other way to put it, amen? I get a few amens like this. People struggle with tithing. Man, I'm telling you something. The best thing I've ever done in my life is tithe. Amen? The best thing I've ever done. Because when I tithe, then the blessings of God come behind it and make sure that I've got everything I need. And so we see this. It's a personal decision. Not because you have to, because you want to. Amen? I don't know about you. I look at these people here. I look at those videos saying, man, I'll tell you what. Of course, my heart's tender because God's made my heart tender to people. Man, I can go to the Dominican Republic. I can pack up, say, honey, man, Lord, that's God's call. My wife ever said, if God calls you anywhere, she'll pack her bags, she'll sell the house. She said, that house means nothing to me. And we don't know how many different kinds of houses we lived in. And what. I don't own anything that would hold me back. I could give up my house tonight. They can have my car. And the payments will go with it too, amen. Take it. I don't own anything that I cannot give away. I cannot think of one thing that I own. We're going to have it all. Bless God. Things are not important to me because I also know this. My God will always supply my need, amen, not my wants. Here's where our problem gets. We get problems. Well, God didn't meet my need. The problem wasn't God didn't meet your need. He couldn't keep up with your wants.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
And I got to be careful with this, man. I'm a technology gadget person. You know, I got the iPhone. I got, somebody replaced the computer I gave away in the Philippines. I mean, people love to help me and give me things. But the problem is I can't work any of them. I'm not smart enough to work any of them, amen? If a computer company ever wanted to test their computer, all they have to do is give it to me. If it can go through what I can put a computer through, it's a good computer. Amen? I mean, I can do more things. My son-in-law, he writes codes for computers and whatever, and I'll see him tomorrow, and if somebody gave me a computer, I'm going to have him put all the stuff on it needs to be put on. I won't know how to work half of it, but at least it'll be on there in case somebody else comes along and needs it. Amen? And whatever. But he says, man, he said, they call me Poppy. All my family calls me Poppy. They go, man, Poppy, I've never seen a man in my life that can mess up a computer like you can. I was in the Philippines. And this is how ignorant I am. I'm in the Philippines. I lost the volume on my computer. Man, I'm sitting over there, good night, man. I lost the volume. There's no way I could get it. So I took it back to factory, restore it back to the factory thing. Whatever, it didn't work. I did everything I could with it. And I'm over there, and I'm going through all kinds of buttons and everything else. I'm typing things, and there only God knows what I'm typing. And I thought, man, I'm going to have to throw this thing away. It's broken. It's overseas. I can't ship it back. It costs me more and whatever. I thought, all right, I'll do that. So one day I got the computer out, and I was looking at it, and I hit the side by accident. The volume button was a little scroll button on the side, amen? I mean, I did everything else. I pulled out my hair, glued it back on, amen? I did everything. Hey, you know what? Hey, that's the volume button, amen? And so whatever. But I'm saying, look, we got to make a personal decision about what we're doing. The second thing is this. Second, it involves a personal determination. Now, go to chapter 9, verse 7. Well, let's look at verse 6 while we're at it. All right, a personal determination. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Amen? And here's what we do. We want buckets of blessings from God, but we want to sow with a teaspoon. You see that? We give God a little bit and expect him to drop clouds of blessing on top of us. It doesn't work that way. I think it's Luke chapter 6, verse 38. The same measure. Right? It's the same measure you give. If you want buckets of blessing, then you give buckets. Amen? Amen? Boy, it's amazing to me how we expect God to do so much for us when we do so little for him. And then we murmur and complain because God didn't do this great thing for us. Well, what great thing did you do for him? And so we look at this, but look at verse 7. Every man according as his purpose in his heart, a personal determination. So let him give. Every man, all right? Every man. When you make a decision, all right, and we are determined to give, it makes God happy. Not only makes God happy, it should make you happy. Amen? Look at this. Every man according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen? Boy, when you give like you should, God, it makes God happy. And it should make you happy. You ever come back? Time for the offering. Oh, bless God. Missionaries are here. Here. Take it. I don't want it. Boy, I gave it. Well, I was in a mission conference. Somebody woke up and gave me those crispy handshakes. I like those crispy handshakes. And they come up, and one guy put $20 in my hand at a mission conference. And I go, boy, man, I needed that, God. Thank you. And then they got up, and the missionary got up, and they told about the missionary that was there, and he needed some money. And God says, you know that $20 I gave you? It's going through your hands. I said, what do you mean? I got Velcro on mine. Amen. And he went, anyway. And I thought, boy, no, I'm going to keep it. No, I'm not going to give it. No, I'm not. And so they passed the offering plate. I didn't do it. I didn't put it in. Oh, boy, then the Holy Spirit really starts to work on you. I had to get up and go find the offering plate and put that $20 in it. Amen. And I kind of did it kind of grudgingly a little bit. I really didn't want it. Oh, that doesn't make God happy. We ought to be excited about giving. Amen. We ought to be excited. Man, when you write out your tithe, you ought to be excited about writing that tithe out because you get 90% of whatever. You know, you get 9 times more than whatever you write out. Boy, you say, well, I'd like to have a big return. Well, guess what? Man, I said, God, make my tithe as big as you possibly can. Amen? I do. I said, God, man, make that tithe bigger. Amen? Because I get 9 times whatever I'm writing on that check. Amen? And so we see this here, but it's a personal determination. Let every man give, all right? So let every person give. God loves a cheerful giver. Man, you know what happens with our faith promise? If we'll take time to think about it, we ought to be excited about our faith promise giving. You can't see this, and I wish you could, and the only way that we can kind of relate this is through the video. All right, but can you, man, go into a country, and I get to see this all the time, when you witness to a Hindu couple, and all of a sudden the light goes on, the Holy Spirit convicts them, and then they pray. To listen to them pray, Oh, I wish we could understand the preciousness of people when they pray and trust Christ. There's no greater thrill. There's no more. There's not much excitement. There's not many more things that could be more exciting than to hear somebody pray and trust Christ. Amen? Amen. I was in the Philippines in a public school. We went in the classrooms and we passed out tracts and taught them a Bible story. And God did this, I think, just especially for me. As we got ready to leave the school, three rooms, probably fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, were right next to each other. When I walked away, they did not plan this, but God did. All three rooms begin to read that Ilongo track in unison. Amazing. I begin to weep. The first time they heard the story of Jesus, the first time they had the gospel put in their language in front of them, in all three classrooms, not planned, only by God, all three of them started in the same place and began to read that, and I listened to the gospel in another dialect being read. That meant I just began to weep. I'm thinking, I thank God that I give. Amen? I thank God that I need to hurry on. The last thing is this. It involves a personal devotion. All right, let's go back to chapter 8, verse 8. A personal devotion. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. All right, you prove what you mean when you say, Jesus, I love you. Paul says you prove your love when you give. All right, when you give to others, Jesus, I love you. But what did he say to Peter? Jesus, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, you know I do. Then he said, what? Feed my lambs. Then a second time, feed my sheep. Then the third time, feed my sheep. He said, if you love me, feed my lambs. What he was saying, feed the young in Christ. Feed the young in grace. Feed the young in faith. He said, feed my lambs. He was saying, feed the young. Then he said, look, feed my sheep. Boy, it's great that we could be involved in this. And not only do we get people saved, but you see the Bible college is coming up. You see the church has started. Boy, we need to feed those people. We need to give them tracts. We need to give them Bibles. We need to give them material. Amen? He said, look, worship never comes cheap. Worship always demands obedience, and it still does. Worship always demands faith. Some say, well, I don't like to make commitments. Come on, you know, I hear all kinds of stories that I teach faith promise. People say, well, you know, we're asking you to make a faith promise commitment. Well, I don't make a commitment. Let me ask you something. Are you buying your house? Yes. And how many years did you commit to pay on that house? 30. Well, I don't make commitments. Well, I see you got a nice car out in the parking lot. Let me ask you, did you pay cash for it? Well, no, I made a commitment to pay 5 years or 6 years on it, whatever, amen? We're so foolish in our thinking. I don't make commitments. I made a commitment to my wife. I'm going to love her the rest of her life. I'm going to be her husband the rest of my life, and amen? Amen. We made commitments and everything else. Why can't we make commitments to faith promise? I'm finished with this. He said, look, we make commitments. Look, it's this grace. Paul said, look, I'm using the Macedonia churches. I want to use them as an example because of their deep poverty and their great affliction. But I want to show you how they could give to their ability, how they could give beyond their ability, how they could give themselves. You know how they could do that? By the grace of God. Now, Titus is coming to you, and he's going to teach you to add this same grace also that you will keep your commitment. Corinth, you promised. He said, look at this. He said in verse 11, it says, now, therefore, perform the doing of it. They had made a promise a year ago. Now he says, make that performance. Boy, look, we need to make that. We need to come to the place that we make a commitment. Look, faith promise. I want you to understand faith promise. It is God giving his money through you. All right? That's what it is. What's the formula for faith promise? God's grace, your faith, equals faith promise. There was a missionary who went to Haiti. All right? A pastor, a preacher went to Haiti and was visiting Haiti. On the last night of his trip, he went to a restaurant, okay? It was a good restaurant for the people of Haiti, but you probably wouldn't eat in it, all right? It was a good restaurant for them, but you and I would probably not eat in it, all right? I mean, when the meal came, not only did it look good, but it smells good. Now, if you can get that combination, that's a pretty good combination. It looks good, and it also smells good. I've been some places where it smelled better than it looked, and then it looked better than it smelled, all right? But, you know, even on this plate, as he got his plate, you know, they took some of the vegetables. And what happened? They shaped the carrots in the shape of flowers. New women didn't like that. You know, women like to decorate the plates. Man, all I got to do is throw it in front of me. I don't care what it looks like. Then you don't have to decorate it or whatever. But women like to do that. And some of you like that. But he bowed his head to pray for his meal. As he was praying, when he finished, he happened to, something caught his attention out of the eye. And as he looked out the window, there were four Haitian boys. And they were staring in the window, and you could tell as they were staring in the window that they were starving. They were very hungry. And so that caught his attention. He seen those four boys out there, and he could tell that they were starving or whatever. They were staring in at the restaurant. And so the waiter seen what was going on. So the waiter seen how the other people begin to pause, and all the people started to pause and look at that window, and they seen those starving boys out there or whatever. And so the waiter went over, and he pulled down the shade. He pulled down the shade on those boys. He said, now, all of you can go back to eating and enjoy your meal. Boy, that's a perfect example of most churches if you're not careful. You'll see the videos. You'll see the people around the world starving for the gospel. You'll see the people around the world without the gospel. Many people are hungry for the gospel. But you know what the church does? It pulls down the shade on the people of the world. We think if we pull down the shade, that excuses us for being involved in reaching the people around the world. Never let this church pull down its shades on the world.
That's right.
Never pull down the shades. Amen. Look, at some of you need to put up the shades in your personal life concerning faith promise in world missions. Some of you in your little world, you've looked at the videos, and when you see the videos of the people, you put down a shade. You just think, well, I'll just put on a shade and ignore it. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of you tonight need to lift up your shade. And see, we said, see the fields, the harvest is plenteous. I wonder tonight about your faith promise. Well, I've seen the faith promise thing, but I'm just going to kind of pull my shade down. I don't have the money, and I really don't want to get involved, and I don't want to make a commitment. I'll just pull down the shade. Tonight, some of you need to lift up that shade for faith promise. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Father, we're closing out this faith promise. And Father, I'm speaking to the very most, probably the most faithful people of this church. Usually the Sunday night and Wednesday crowd are those that are really committed, those are really faithful in their giving and their attendance and their serving. But Father, I pray tonight we need to make a personal decision, Father, to be involved in faith promise. And Father, we need to have a personal determination, dear God, that we're going to follow through with that faith promise. And then we need that devotion, dear God, because we love you and we worship you, that we will follow through. And Father, as we look at a lost and dying world, Father, help us never to pull down the shade upon them and just go about our business, go about our eating, taking in your blessings, taking in everything that you've given, the grace that you put upon us. We just take it in and just put it in our little own world. But Father, help us to lift up the shades tonight. Now, Father, help us with this Faith Promise Mission Conference as we close it. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand for the invitation. The invitation is this. We looked at this. We've seen the formula for faith promises. God's grace, your faith, equals faith promise. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you experienced God's grace? Got God's favor upon your life? Once you add faith to it, step out and believe that God can give what he says he can give through you, that it will help you increase your faith promise. There are many people here today, you've given the faith promise, but you need to increase your faith tonight. You need to increase it. Some of you are not involved in it. You need to lift up the shades around your life and get involved with it. As they begin to play the piano, the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. What is it tonight that God's speaking to you about? Have you experienced God's grace? Then what are you going to do with it? Are you going to allow it to work through your poverty, through your difficult circumstances, and give? What are you going to do with your faith? Are you going to increase your faith tonight as he begins to play, as he begins to play the piano? What does the Holy Spirit of God want you to do tonight? Won't you come? Whatever God wants you to do tonight, what is it? Maybe God's not looking for the money tonight. Maybe God's looking for you tonight. Maybe it's you that God's looking for. Oh, he said, I've given according to my ability. So I've given beyond my ability, but maybe God's looking for you tonight. Maybe God wants you to become a soul winner. Maybe God wants you to take the gospel around this area. Maybe God wants you tonight. His grace plus your faith will equal your faith promise.